Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zimak. Great to be with you here on this Thursday, January the 21st. January the 25th. Give me a chance to wake up. I'm going to get this right, I promise. By the end of the show, I'll have it down pat. I want you to listen for a very, very special sound. You got it. That is the sound of the bell that I like to ring every day on Spirit of the Morning when we have a feast or a solemnity. Now, today, the church celebrates the feast of the conversion of St. Paul. We'll talk a little bit more about that, what that means after the prayer. But, you know, this is something for all of us to keep in mind. St. Paul started out as somebody who was persecuting Christians when he was known as Saul of Tarsus. But the Lord shows him. He intervened in his life and he said, hey, Saul, I got a job for you. It's the same thing the Lord says to each of us every day. Let's pray, and then I'll tell you a little bit more about the show. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for giving us a new day. Father, so many times we take your gifts for granted. We complain, we get annoyed, we forget that every day you give us is a gift. We ask you to help us make the most of the gift of this new day. Help us to be your eyes and your ears and your mouth in the world. May everything we do today bring glory to your name. And Father, we lift up those who are struggling today, those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who are dealing with doubt or despair. We lift up those who are in prison today. We lift up the homeless, those who are confined to their home as well. And Father, we ask you to use us on this radio program, Spirit in the Morning, to proclaim your message. In order to do that, we ask you to help us get out of the way so that you can go forth, your words can go forth from our lips. And we ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, you ready to get started? I sure am. I'm Gary Zimak. This is Spirit in the Morning, the Delaware Valley's only local Catholic morning show. So blessed to be here every Monday through Friday on Holy Spirit Radio. We've got a great show for you today. Coming up first, our friend Bobby Schindler will be here. Bobby, he's a regular guest. We have him on every month. He does such good work advocating for those who are medically vulnerable. I mean, really, really good work Bobby does in honor of his late sister, Terry Schiavo. We're going to talk to Bobby. And also, the Catholic hipster, Tommy Tai, will be coming back to pay us another visit. And one of the reasons Tommy said that he would come back is because, you know, we had him on the show before, is that we have two of the coolest guys in the Catholic universe with us every day on Spirit in the Morning, Dave Parker and Frank Eliason. The two of them are looking around the studio right now.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you.
But Tommy's coming back.
Yes,
he is. The Catholic hipster.
Yeah. Are we allowing him to sleep in a little bit?
Yeah,
get an extra 15.
We gave him the late slot. Tommy's in the Bay Area, so this is going to be very early for him. But he actually wanted to come back, Frank. I don't get it, but he wants to come back. But we're going to, you know, his whole
nice
thing
words
with this Catholic hipster movement, and it's really cool. And he wrote the book called The Catholic Hipster Handbook. His whole mantra or slogan, whatever you want to call it, is reclaiming Catholic cool. He takes these devotions and ancient practices, which many look at as being completely uncool.
Yeah.
And he says, no, these things are really cool. So
yeah, a lot of, you know, he brings them out of being archaic, you know, like a lot of the thought of modern Catholics, oh my gosh, that's so old.
Yeah.
But they don't understand it. So he's explaining it, he's educating, but in a very cool way.
Yep. And we're going to talk about, in particular, the rosary. Tommy asked me, he said, what do you want to talk about? I said, well, two of the things you address in the book, the rosary and total consecration to Jesus through Mary, mm-hmm. two very, very traditional mm-hmm. devotions, but he kind of turns them upside down and says, no, these are really cool. Let's look at them.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Anyway, so that's what's happening on today's show. Also, guys, I just wanted to touch on this this conversion of St. Paul. Very big day. St. Paul, Frank, he was, quote unquote, one of the bad guys. He's persecuting Christians.
He was the bad
right?
guy.
I mean, he was not, when Christians saw Paul coming, it's like, to quote the Three Stooges, Dave, how about, when they saw Paul, they were scared. Saul of Tarsus, he was known as, he was rounding up Christians. throwing them in jail for following Christ. And Jesus said, "You're my guy, Saul. I'm going to use you to spread my message to the Gentiles." I mean, he chooses some pretty unlikely people.
Crucifying them and putting them in jail. Yeah. He was brutal.
He was
a brutal guy.
He encountered Christ on the road to Damascus. Yeah. And three times in the Acts of the Apostles, we read this story. It changed his life. And Frank, the power of Jesus, when we encounter him, is life-changing.
Oh, absolutely. And the reality is, look, he's going after the sinner. He's inviting them in. Having him do his work.
Yeah.
You know, we have to remember that in our own lives and how do we invite the sinner in? We're all sinners. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of that judgment, it's here's how we can use you towards Christ.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's something that's extraordinarily powerful. Now we have a lot going on, but I want to do a real quick prayer. We already did our morning prayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But St. Ignatius today has their confirmation retreat.
Yeah, we're all about prayer.
And so they asked to do a prayer, and they asked this to all the parents, and I figured, you know what? What a time to do it.
That is
Let's
cool.
do
Let's
it
do
right
it.
Here.
Absolutely.
So this is for all the confirmation candidates, but you know what? It's good for all of us. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit of God, we ask you to open the ears and hearts of these children so that their faith may grow stronger and they may experience your great love for them. Let them hear your truth and make this a part of their lives forever. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Perfect. Perfect.
Beautiful. Pretty short, but very powerful and impactful.
We were having this discussion yesterday at Mary Mother of the Redeemer Parish. I work there during the day. After the show, I'm the director of parish services there. But we're having this discussion about the Holy Spirit and when we ask the Holy Spirit to intervene in our lives and to help us.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say no, but a lot of times we don't expect him to do anything. You know, we pray, "Come Holy Spirit," or we pray those great words, and we don't expect him to show up. Yes, the Holy Spirit to get involved. He's going to show up and help you.
Absolutely.
Right?
And we could all use that help.
Yeah. Yesterday, after the Mass on Wednesday at St. Francis Cabrini, there's a Bible study. We, too, talked about, the topic came up about, you know, young kids in their formation, in catechism, and all that. And we were talking, it seems to be the Holy Spirit working on our hearts, in our hearts. You know, we need to, you know, keep our children, you know, in the faith. And so many good ways. But then we were talking about then sometimes they're not. And like once they get out or they're finished, you know, how does it continue? I mean, sometimes parents don't keep their kids, you know, like going to church. I mean, we got into the positives and the negatives, you know.
Yeah.
But it's so important, and that was a great prayer, Frank.
It was. And David starts with that example. You know, we set the example, and we let our kids know that the Lord's important to us. I mean, I think that's very, very powerful.
And it says a lot about the parents. Where are the parents, you know, in all this?
You bet. Gentlemen, let me take a quick look at the weather, and then we'll do this gospel, kind of a short one today for the feast of St. Paul, the conversion of St. Paul. Currently in the Delaware Valley at the Philadelphia International Airport, it's 28 degrees under overcast skies. Today, mostly sunny, high near 38. Tonight, clear with a low around 25. And then Friday, it's going to be sunny with a high near 45 degrees. At the present time in Westchester, it's 24. In White Marsh, it's 25. And right around the corner in Buckingham, it is 23 degrees. Mm. You know, it's funny, before I do this gospel very quickly, I was thinking on the way up, with that, I guess, a couple-week period we had of the very, very cold temperatures, this doesn't seem too bad. I don't know if it's just me, but, you know, it's cold out there, but when it's like 10 or lower
we're
than 10.
We're kind of opposite today. I came in, and I was like, burr.
Were you really? Okay.
yeah. And Gary's all warm.
I don't understand it. Yeah.
Maybe
I'm not awake.
He's just a warm and fuzzy kind of guy.
Oh, here we go. Well, thank you. I don't know. But for me, I appreciate the temperature being what it is
now.
Because when it was 10 and below, that was cold for me.
I know. Go ahead, because I have some other weather environmental things about the sunrise. You know, it's staying lighter almost about an hour later at night.
Yeah, I'm noticing that.
Hey.
I'm noticing that.
Hey, we're coming into spring, folks.
Yay! All right.
2 minutes a day. 2.5 minutes a day we gain.
Let's take a look at this gospel, because I want to make a point here. This is a special gospel. The church calls it the proper gospel for the Feast of St. Paul. Special one that's picked. It comes from Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. Jesus appeared to the 11, and he said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I don't want to get too caught up in that language at the end, because that has led some people down the wrong path. I mean, there are people that take that literally, that those words are not meant to be taken literally, obviously. We're not going to pick up serpents with our bare hands and expect not to get bit or drink deadly poison. I mean, that has...
Maybe
some people,
Bear Wozniak would. I don't know.
Some people have gone off the deep end with that. But what I want to point out is this first message. Of course, this is the last chapter of Mark's Gospel. This message from Jesus to his disciples, his apostles, the inner circle, the church, if you will, at the time, is called the Great Commission. And what he's saying to them, all right, I'm ascending into heaven. Go into the whole world, proclaim the gospel to every creature. That's the mission of the church.
Absolutely.
To make disciples. That's what Jesus said, his final words. We're members of the church.
Yes.
That's our job.
Exactly.
The whole world.
Yeah.
Frank's talking
Pretty
about
simple.
Certain people
simple.
Who we exclude, the sinners, or I don't talk to that person.
Yeah.
That person is loved by God and needs to hear that message.
Jesus used the KISS principle. Keep it simple, hey guys.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's the point. So that's our challenge today. That's our challenge today, to go out into the world, share the gospel message with the person, especially, how about the person that drives you crazy?
Share Christ's love.
Yep. And pick that one person, Frank Eliasson, right? That one person that's going to drive you, that typically drives you crazy, because that person needs to hear the message. When we come back, Bobby Schindler, stay tuned.
Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for January 25th. Today we celebrate the conversion of St. Paul. Not many saints are remembered for the moment of their conversion, but few saints are like Paul, and few have as dramatic an experience as he did when he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. In an instant, Paul saw that he had misused the zeal of his dynamic personality to zealously harass all Christians and all that Jesus stood for. In one moment, Paul became a slave of Christ, whose goal was to be a minister of reconciliation and an instrument to help others experience Jesus. It was one sentence that moved him: "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." In an instant, Paul realized that Jesus was, in fact, the mysterious fulfillment of all he had been blindly pursuing. From that moment on, Paul tirelessly proclaimed and lived out the message of the cross. Paul's writings can be hard to understand and appreciate, but who could question the meaning and beauty of his oft-quoted words in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which begin, "Love is patient, love is kind." There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Well, late one night she started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of fire, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, "I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle." Well, no matter who you are, and no matter what you've done, there will come song for the last time. He didn't know what he was looking for or even what he'd find. And the song he heard gave him hope and strength to carry on. And on that night, they found a miracle.
Welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. My name is Gary Zimek. Thank you for joining us today. The time is 7:19. The name of that song was I Need a Miracle. The group is Third Day. If you need a miracle today, keep in mind that the Lord, he's in the miracle business. So make sure you reach out to him and say, hey, Lord, I need a miracle. You know, we have to have that faith. We have to have that belief that with him, all things are possible. Bobby Schindler is the president of the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network. And he advocates on a full-time basis for the medically vulnerable. He does that in honor of his sister, Terry Schiavo. You can find out more about his work at lifeandhope.com. That's lifeandhope.com. Bobby joins us each month to fill us in on what he's doing and to help fire us up so that we can go out into the world and send a pro-life message. He also reminds us that there is hope, especially if we're in a situation where the lives of one of our loved ones might be threatened. This is exactly what he does when he advocates for those who are medically vulnerable. Hey, Bobby, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
So glad to have you with us again, my friend.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Bobby, listen, you were, I believe you attended the March for Life. Is that correct?
Well, I was there. I had to leave a little early. I actually had a speaking engagement in Seattle the next day.
But you were in D.C., I know, at the time of the march, correct? Like right around when everything was happening?
Right, that's correct.
Bobby, I want to talk a little bit about that because obviously right to life is such an important issue. That's what you do full time. And I don't want to diminish in any way the importance of advocating against abortion. It's a horrible crime, it's a murder, and we've got to do that. But your message even goes beyond that, right? Because you advocate for those who they're already born and their lives might be in jeopardy, and you call them the medically vulnerable. Talk a little bit about the message and your work and what exactly it is that you do.
Well, right, Gary. When you say medically vulnerable, what we're doing really, essentially, is we're advocating for everyone. Mm. We're advocating for you, for all of us.
Okay.
At any minute, any one of us could become medically vulnerable, whether it's a traumatic brain injury, a stroke, you name it. It does not discriminate. You know, ending up in a hospital or in a critical situation or a life or death situation, it can happen to any one of us at any given time. And what we experience, our families that contact us where their loved ones are being denied care. And there's all different types of situations with what that means.
Mm-hmm.
It could be treatment that the family is asking for. It could be after a period of time where the hospital has, or whoever's making the decisions as far as the healthcare decisions,
right,
are deciding, you know, there's no more chance of any kind of meaningful recovery, and they recommend denying care or mm-hmm. stopping care. So, and the family isn't ready to give up, so to speak, and they want to continue care. So it just depends. But we receive the call, and depending on the situation, we use our resources to try and help the family.
And Bobby, we have you on each month, and I ask you to talk about this each time because this message just needs to keep going out over the airwaves. People need to keep hearing this because I think sometimes, and you just brought up a really good point, sometimes we might be in denial, we might not realize how serious of a situation this can be. I could be in the position of, you know, I could have some sort of medical event, and tomorrow some doctor or authority could be saying, Gary Zimek does not deserve to live. He has no quality of life. Let's get rid of him. I mean, that sounds cold. That sounds harsh. But that's the reality, isn't it?
Well, unfortunately, it is, and you hate to paint it with just a big, broad brush, because there are, I mean, we deal every day with wonderful healthcare professionals, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of this is coming from administrators that are looking at the bottom line, and you hate to equate it to cost. I mean, we all are concerned on cost,
right?
And hospitals are in business to you know, not lose money, so to speak, but we can't put the care of people at risk, particularly in situations that we deal with where families are asking for reasonable type of treatment. And mm-hmm. we do assess the situation, Gary. It's not like we will intervene or impose if we think, it just depends. But I would say the vast majority of calls that we receive, the family really is in a situation where reasonable care is being sought. So we will do what we can, and whether that's getting these families attorneys, or if it's they need physicians that help, or whatever, it just depends. We'll try and use our resources, and we've been rather successful these past 12, 13 years getting the help for families that they need to try and help their loved ones with whatever the situation might be.
Yeah, and your message is, and our message as Catholics is that every life matters. Right, there aren't some lives who matter more than others. In God's eyes, every one of our lives matter.
Well, you're right, and we try. I mean, you can just look. I mean, for example, there's a lot of news here in Ohio right now with the Down syndrome. Ohio just passed the bill that will hopefully do a better job protecting those families that there's a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome.
Okay.
Because we're seeing terribly high numbers of families that are aborting their child if they do find out that it's born with,
wow.
going to be born with Down. So, I mean, you just look at that issue itself, and based on someone's disability, we're deciding that we don't want to care for them, and therefore we're choosing to kill these human beings who have dignity and value and deserve life. So, I mean, it's just across the spectrum, Gary. I mean, it's the unborn, it's people with disabilities,
yeah.
it's the elderly. It seems to me in our culture today, we just don't hold this same type of value to certain people, and therefore we somehow rationalize it's okay to kill people based on what I just said, disability, illness,
yeah.
it just depends. And we're just trying to do our best to remind people that, you know, we are people that should be caring for and showing these individuals compassion and the dignity they deserve, and love them just as we love everybody else.
That's why your message is so important, Bobby, and that's why I want to direct everybody to go online to lifeandhope.com to see what your message is all about and your work is all about. Bobby, I've got twin girls. They're 20 years old. We've talked about this before in the show. They had a 10% chance of being born alive. They're doing fine. And we were blessed by great care in the NICU when the girls were born. These doctors kept our girls alive. I've got a mother who is suffering from dementia. She hasn't been able to speak in about 10 years. She's in a nursing home right now, and she is being well taken care of. I am very blessed. But I'll tell you, Bobby, there have been people who have told me, your mother has no quality of life. It's not fair that you're letting her go through this. And it's like, wow. But this is the way people think sometimes. And I'm not saying anybody's bad for thinking this way. It's this false or misdirected compassion sometimes. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, absolutely, and I wish I could say it's more the exception than the rule, but it just seems
wow.
that we're getting more and more calls. And if you go to our website, Gary, we have story after story
yeah.
of individuals that were given up on, doctors gave them no hope of any chance, but they continued to treat them, and these people are now fully recovered in some cases, or at least on their way to recovery. And there are so many stories out there, and it's just not where. And these people need many times need to be given a chance. They need to be afforded
yeah.
time.
Yes.
To get the recovery and give the brain, the body, whatever it is, to the chance to heal and recover. And I just urge people, go to our website and just read the stories of recovery that we have posted. And so many people that were just given a chance and families that loved them and wanted to care for them and wanted them treated. And then they have stories just like the ones you're telling me about your family.
Yeah, yeah. Bobby, keep up the good work, my friend. Lifeandhope.com is the place to go if you want to check out Bobby's work and maybe help him out in some way. Bobby, we're going to keep you in our prayers. And look, I am very grateful for not only what you're doing, but for the fact that you come on the air with us on Spirit in the Morning. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks. Hey, we're all in this together. I just appreciate your time and what you're doing as well. Thank you.
All right, brother. God bless you as well. We'll talk to you next time. That's Bobby Schindler, the president of the Terry Schiavo
wow.
Life and Hope
yes.
Network. What do you say, Dave?
He's fighting. He's fighting for life, the sanctity of life at all levels.
He is, and we all know
ages.
The story of what happened to
yeah.
his sister, Terry Schiavo.
Absolutely.
But she did not die in vain. Bobby is honoring her memory by going out there and advocating for those, for all of us, really, because he mentioned we could all be in that position where somebody
says,
all right, he's
more later,
useless,
folks,
right?
More to follow.
Get rid of him, right? And that's what we got to be careful about. All right, we're going to take a break. The time right now, 7:28. When we come back, get ready to get hip with the Catholic hipster, Tommy Ty. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. A business owner in Benton, Kentucky says up to 100 students ran to his cleaning company after shots rang out yesterday morning at Marshall County High School. Mitchell Garland's own son was one of those students taking refuge. Authorities have not released the name of the 15-year-old suspected of shooting and killing two students and injuring another 17. On this feast of St. Francis de Sales, patron saint of journalists, the Vatican is releasing the Pope's message for the 2018 World Day of Social Communications, which takes place on May 13th this year. Fake news is the focus of his message under the theme, "The Truth Will Set You Free, Fake News and Journalism for Peace." The Holy Father says in the message, quote, "I would like to invite everyone to promote a journalism of peace. By that, I do not mean the saccharine kind of journalism that refuses to acknowledge the existence of serious problems or smacks of sentimentalism. On the contrary, I mean a journalism that is truthful and opposed to falsehoods, rhetorical slogans, and sensational headlines. A journalism created by people for people, one that is at the service of all, especially those, and they are the majority in our world, who have no voice," end quote. The Pope also sent a message to the World Economic Forum taking place in Davos, Switzerland this week, saying it is a moral imperative, a responsibility that involves everyone to create the right conditions to allow each person to live in a dignified manner. And hundreds of thousands of Puerto Ricans face losing their homes upon the expiration of a three-month moratorium on mortgage payments that banks offered after Hurricane Maria devastated the island. Lenders are starting to demand payment from Puerto Ricans still struggling to make ends meet amid continuing power outages and a post-storm economic crisis. Even worse, many people stopped making mortgage payments after the hurricane because they thought the moratorium was automatic when it was not. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
No matter who we are or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's obvious physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
I knew that I had to get support. Not just for me, but for the sake of my wife and kids.
Talking about it has helped me feel more like myself again.
Honestly, it was hard to open up at first, but it's changed my life for the better.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at MakeTheConnection.net.
Need a lift? Gary's got you. The uplifting way to get through the day. Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
So hard. can do.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zimak. The time is 7:35. The name of that song was All I Can Do by Mike's Chair. Great message for us today. You know, sometimes we need to turn to the Lord every day. We might not feel like it and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving me this new day. If there's nothing else we can say, that's something we can definitely say. All I can do is say thank you. All right. Well, we are joined now by our friend Tommy Tai, who is known as the Catholic Hipster. He is the author of the Catholic Hipster Handbook. You can find him online at CatholicHipster.com. Hey, Tommy, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You actually came back. I'm so happy. You know, we normally can't get people to come back on the show, so thank you.
Well, I'm more than happy to be here.
Hey, listen, you know, I want to talk a little bit about this whole Catholic Hipster thing. You mention in the introduction of your book, The Catholic Hipster Handbook, you say this: there's a certain essence that comes with being Catholic. It's hard to put your finger on it, but it's an attitude unlike that of any other group I have discovered. And you call this, you subtitle this introduction, Rediscover the Attitude. What's this attitude all about?
Oh, sure. Well, it's an attitude of knowing kind of what's going on in the world and the reality of things. It's an attitude of the hope that we have being Catholic and knowing that we're headed in the right direction, even if it seems like we're not sometimes, these tiny steps that we take. And I think it's an attitude of peace and love and compassion. A lot of our culture, and especially I can just speak for myself, in my day-to-day life, going to work every day and working full-time, it's like every man for himself, pushing people down to get to the top kind of a thing. So I think people notice something different when you reply to an email or someone's snarky with a happy response. Or, you know, if somebody tries to, like, chew you out in a meeting and you just reply with a little smile and a thank you for helping me understand something differently. And I think it's it goes a long way to be Catholic in our culture. That's the attitude I'm talking about.
And, you know, Tommy, we're combating this mentality in the world that, hey, you're Catholic. That's so uncool. You guys are behind the times. But really, you turn that idea on its head, don't you? And you say, no, Catholicism is cool. And I really like that about what you're doing with the Catholic Hipster.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, I think I notice a lot of the things that the secular world seems to be looking for and grasping for and coming up with are things that are found in the Catholic Church already. I think we all have a deep calling, right? It's written on all of our hearts as much as we push God away out here in our culture. And so I think what I try to show people is those things that our heart is calling us towards, it's right here in the church.
Yeah.
So people need to get past that thing of how we're an old, dusty institution and realize that it's about a relationship with Jesus, that he's just waiting for us, right?
Oh, that's so crucial. And, you know, it's funny. I'm a cradle Catholic, and that whole idea of a relationship with Jesus is something that I didn't think was possible for Catholics. I really didn't, you know, and I still, once I found it, I mean, today we celebrate the feast of the conversion of St. Paul, and we see what happens when somebody encounters Jesus. I mean, Paul's life was changed. I went through the same thing, and now, Tommy, I go out and I speak to people sometimes, fellow Catholics who have been in the church all their lives. I talk about this personal relationship with Jesus, which can be found in its fullness through the Catholic Church, and they look at me like I have two heads. Like, are you kidding? That's Protestant. What are you, Protestant? But it is, right? That's what it's all about, this relationship with Christ.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's definitely Protestant code language for us cradle Catholics. When we hear that, we're like, wait, I'm supposed to turn the station or move somewhere else, right?
Exactly.
But yeah, I think that's part of what a lot of people who revert back to the Catholic Church will say something. I'm sure you've heard it, like, I never realized that the church was calling me to such a deep relationship with Jesus until I took another look at it. Obviously, the Eucharist, it doesn't get much deeper than that, right?
Exactly.
And for me personally, when I look at the way that the Catholic Church teaches the value of suffering in our lives, and I look at how much suffering is in our lives, it makes so much sense to me to see what Jesus has been through, what Mary's been through, and have a deep relationship with them through the fact that life stinks a lot of times, and we don't know why.
Exactly.
And we can look to them and see what happened to these two perfect people and God himself when he was incarnate, right? And see what happened to them on earth and then understand that they have a glimpse of what's happening to us. And I think that really deepened my relationship with them both.
Yeah, and let's talk about the Blessed Mother. In your book, you mentioned you do a chapter on the rosary. And with all due respect to those of us who love the rosary, and I'm not trying to offend anybody. Typically, when one thinks of the rosary, it's a devotion practiced by old women. I mean, a lot of times, that's what we think. Oh, these are the old ladies, they're praying their rosary, and it's almost looked down upon. But yet the rosary and the relationship with Our Lady is so great, isn't it?
It is. It's thank God for those old ladies praying those rosaries, though, because they're praying them for all of us.
Exactly.
So thank God for them.
Exactly.
But you're right. You're right. And, you know, I think this goes back to what I was talking about. A lot of things that I hear, even around the workplace when they're trying to do these, like, self-improvement things at work, they lead you on all these guided meditations and do these things to help, like, bring you to a better understanding of things and have this calm peace. And I can sit in the corner of the room at work just screaming to myself, you know what would be better is meditating on the gospel. That
exactly.
would even bring us more growth than just meditating on a stream by a tree or something like that. But yeah, I think the rosary is, it's not for everybody. So something I always like to tell people is you just because you're Catholic, you don't have to love the rosary. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit of Catholic guilt if the rosary doesn't click for us. But it's so beautiful when we kind of understand what it is and when we can kind of walk with Jesus through the Gospels and walk with Mary, kind of watching what happened from her eyes. And just, you know, it's so Catholic because you've got this deep meditation, which is like the highest form of prayer, this contemplative prayer of thinking about what's happening. But then the Catholic thing of the physical, we've put a lot of value on being able to touch and being able to feel. And so just the beads going through your fingers is so uniquely Catholic, I think, in terms of Christian prayer. It's just such a powerful thing. And I know even when I wasn't praying the rosary, I always had a rosary in my pocket just in case things went sideways when I was out and about in my daily life.
Isn't that fun?
Think that says a lot to me looking back because even when I wasn't devoted to it, I knew there was something there where if, you know, I was on a plane and it was going to go down, I would have been happy that I could have pulled those beads out of my pocket. So for me, that always says that, you know, there must be something there if I knew that, even when I was drifting away from the church.
That is such a great point. And it's funny, as we're speaking, I didn't realize I did this, but I have my rosary in my hand. I took my beads out of my pocket. There's a level of comfort there. And, you know, and I'm somebody who, again, I grew up Catholic. I knew about the rosary, but I didn't pray it. And then I, see if you can see the difference here. I began to say it out of guilt, not pray it, but say it.
Right, yeah.
And then as I read more about it, and we had people on the show such as Father Don Calloway and so many people who promote the rosary, I started to realize, hey, this is powerful. And that rosary leads me into a deeper relationship with my Blessed Mother. And guess what? She leads me closer to Christ. So now that when I pray my rosary, I'm growing closer to the Lord. It's real. It works.
Yeah, most definitely. You can hear a lot of people who are on the path to conversion pick up that rosary, and it's game over for them. They're headed into the church right away, you know?
Exactly.
She's watching out for everybody. I think, too, for me, in times of intense, like, crisis or when something really bad goes on, I would really like to be able to eloquently speak prayer off the top of my head to Jesus for help and how much I love him. But it doesn't happen because I'm in some sort of, like, trauma, you know, situation where I can't come up with it. And in that place, the rosary is so great because we know it so well that we can pull it out and get that peace in reaching out to God without having to kind of, you know, come up with something poetic off the top of our heads. So God bless it for that, too.
Oh, yeah. Tommy, you make a great point there. Those vocal prayers, I mean, they're my go-to prayers on those days where I'm so freaked out about what's happening around me, or maybe I'm really tired. You know, I go to those prayers, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, and I really get into those words, and, you know, my mind can take a little vacation. I don't have to come up with the words because there are a lot of mornings I wake up and I say, Lord, I don't even know what to say. Let me go to these vocal prayers, and they work.
That's right. That's right. And there's nothing like praying the words of the Bible, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, I'm a pretty good prayer, but I'm going to have to defer to the Holy Spirit with those inspired words. Tommy, what I like about your work is you are really making the uncool cool. Because Catholicism's a lot cooler than we think sometimes.
It is. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think for me, when I look at just the way that life is, it makes so much sense. Like, Catholicism can seem so weird from the outside, I think.
Yeah.
Some of the things that we do look odd, especially to non-Catholic Christians.
Right.
I think they find it a little bit odd. But when you look at, when I look at my experience of life and how the world works, and then I turn to the teachings and practices of the church, I find that they match up so well that I can't help but realize that, like, over the course of 2,000 years, the church has always been right about everything. And so I find so much comfort in that. You know, and so there's so many people think, well, that's, the church is so stuffy and so uncool in that way. But it just resonates so deeply with inside of us. I think it can't help but be the greatest thing ever.
You better believe it. Tommy, we are just about out of time. Tommy Tai is with us. He's the founder of CatholicHipster.com. He's the author of the Catholic Hipster Handbook from Ave Maria Press. Brother, I want to thank you so much for taking time. You had to wake up really early, and I'm very grateful for this. I hope you'll be able to come back on with us again.
Me too. It's always a great time, and shout out to everybody in Philly. You guys are a beautiful city.
Oh,
thanks,
man,
for having me.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. Talk to you next time.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. That's Tommy Tai, the Catholic Hipster. When we come back, we are going to be debuting a new song by Mandisa. It's called Bleed the Same. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. We're also going to talk about the importance of all getting together and stop judging one another. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Three recovering alcoholics happened upon a country inn that advertised homemade pumpkin pie. They engaged their waitress in conversation and mentioned their struggles to her. When it was time for dessert, she informed them that the kitchen had just run out of pie. Seeing their disappointment, she reappeared a few minutes later with three pieces. She had told the cooks about the men, so they gave away the slices they had put aside for themselves. The waitress told the three strangers, "I'm in AA too, and it's pretty tough right now. All day I've been praying for strength. Then, out of nowhere, you guys appear, and I hear you talking. Just when I was feeling lost, you guys found me." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org. Call us at 215-345-1570 or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
You're listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
We all bleed the same. We're all beautiful when we come together. We all bleed the same. So tell me why we're divided.
Woke up today, another headline. Another innocent life is taken in the name of hatred. So hard to take. And if we think that it's all good, then we're mistaken. 'Cause my heart is breaking.
Tell it, DC.
Are you left? Are you right? Pointing fingers, taking sides.
families will come together right now and seek your face. You will forgive our sins and you'll heal our incredible land. In the name of the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimmer. I want to talk a little bit about that song. That was Mandisa featuring Toby Mac and Kirk Franklin. That's brand new to the top 10 of the Billboard Christian Singles this week. The name of that song was Bleed the Same. Here's what happened. Mandisa, in her words, was watching, you know, she was caught up in the news. I think this was sometime last year. She was hearing about shootings, and she was completely overwhelmed by what was going on social media, people attacking one another, so much division. So she thought it was time to sit down and collaborate with her songwriters to write that song, We All Bleed the Same. And she says, in her words, we're never going to find healing in our land by fighting and screaming. And I think, Dave Parker, that is such an important message.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't necessarily have to be shooting one another to be really doing a lot of harm. Yeah. Like, we see it on social media, just the attacks that take place. Mm-hmm. You're left, you're right, you're conservative, you're liberal.
Where's the civility that of you know years past? And I think some people still have it, but we need to resurrect civility in our discourse.
Right, right. Know? And the thing to remember, and this is why I wanted to talk about this a little, is that rather than pointing fingers, and this is easy to do, saying, yeah, there's a lot of fighting on social media, there's a lot of fighting in the office, wherever, it starts with me. Mm-hmm. What can I do to make a difference? And what I would like to do, and I'm, believe me, I am pointing a finger at myself. I realize that I need work in this area.
So do I.
There are
so
people, there are certain people, and I would challenge you to identify one person today, somebody that really pushes your buttons, somebody that drives you crazy. You might not even know who you will encounter today who will do that. But as our last guest, Tommy Tai, was saying, you might be attacked by somebody verbally. Mm-hmm. You might be accused of something. Mm-hmm. How are you going to respond? You know, that's the question. How can I respond in a loving manner today, mm-hmm. in a manner that would bring glory to God?
Absolutely.
I mean, that sounds idealistic, but it's really what we're all called to do.
I love that interview. I mean, many things stuck out. One nugget was like when he said, like he's in a board meeting or a conference meeting, and he's sitting in the corner listening to all, you know, I mean, the old, you know, meditation is not bad, but he said, and then he's thinking to himself, what about the gospel? The peace that the gospel and many, many readings of the gospel has.
Now Frank Eliasson, I want to highlight something that I saw. You got your Eagles jersey on. I want to highlight something that I saw on the news.
Let's be
today.
Civil.
Now, you know, the Philadelphia fans, we get a bad rap sometimes.
Yep.
I read that some of the Viking fans, did you hear about this? Mm-hmm. They're trying to intentionally sabotage the Eagles fans by becoming Uber drivers and taking them to the wrong location. I mean, what the heck is going on there? Even sports can cause division.
Even sports. And, you know, and we can get into a whole conversation just about all that stuff. But, you know, we have to stop trying to point fingers and putting it elsewhere and, you know, start loving each other. And this is the nature of our faith. This is the nature of Christ. Yeah. You know, all his teachings were about that love, that mercy. And even in ourselves, we think we're that way, but at the end of the day, maybe we're not. Maybe,
exactly.
You know, maybe it's the political thing, but maybe it's even a religious thing. Any number of things where we want to point fingers somewhere and say, you're bad, judge someone. You know what? Step back and say, how do I win these people over? How do I win over and let them see that love that's truly in my heart?
To that point about the Vikings and Eagles, wasn't there a YouTube thing that you sent out or someone sent out, and there was a Vikings fan in our last game leaving, and there was
hugging and all kinds of, you know, people had, and we've seen that.
Very respectful.
You know, we've heard all these things bad about the Eagles fans and all these bad things they do. I've been to numerous Eagles games and, you know, and other sports in town. And I've seen fans from other places. Mm-hmm. I've seen some get antagonized. I've seen some antagonize us.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also seen people really start to, you know, gel and get to know each other and like each other, even though they're on opposite sides.
Well, exactly.
And, you know, and the funny thing in this world is I had someone, like, after I'd shared something like that, you know, chime in, but like, look, this other Eagles thing this person did, it was on Twitter. And like, I'm like, I can go on Twitter for any single town out there and find some idiot doing something.
Yeah, right.
And you know, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, this is all Eagles fans, or this is all Patriot fans.
Right.
It's not. It's a small minority. You know what? There's a lot of good things that go on out there. Why don't we be happy for the people?
And there's more to life than
that.
I mean, if we're totally invested in a and maybe in a selfish way, our team, there's more to life than that.
Exactly. And it's fun. I mean, we can have the rivalry thing going, but we just don't want to take it to the extreme. So that's the challenge for you today. Find somebody to show Christ love to. I mean, it could be that person that annoys you at work. We all have them. So look for that person and be Jesus to that person today. All right, we are just about out of time. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to be joined by author Mary Spurry, the author of a new book called Making Room for God. Also, Father Dave Pavanka will be here. You probably know him from his very popular series, The Wild Goose, where he talks about the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with us on the program. We thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to check us out online at spiritinthemorning.com. And remember, go out there and try to be Jesus to somebody. Try to bring the gospel to somebody, just as St. Paul did. Today we celebrate his conversion. Let's all try to have that conversion. Again, thank you for listening. I'm Gary Zimek, and we thank you for joining us every Monday through Friday on Spirit in the Morning. Check us out online at spiritinthemorning.com for more. And do me a favor, tell your friends about the show. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Make sure you turn around and say hi. God bless you.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.